The Soldier's Fortune by Thomas Otway. First published 1683, starring Arthur Lowe.
Welcome, my Lord Hogarth. Very welcome, Master Courtine. Will you please to walk up to a private room?
Get the room ready now, landlord, like you've often done for my father. Oh, carry up, too, a good stock of bottles beforehand, with ice to cool our wine and water to refresh our glasses.
It shall be done, sir.
But where's our dear friend and intimate Sir Jolly this evening?
To deal like a friend, Courtine, I parted with him but just now. He's gone to contrive me a meeting, if possible, this night, with the woman my soul is most fond of. I was this evening just entering upon the palace of all joy, when I met with so damnable a disappointment. In short, that plague to all well-meaning women, the husband, came unseasonably and forced a poor lover to his heels.
A plague on him! Why didst thou not murder the presumptuous cuckold, saucy, intruding clown? To dare to disturb a gentleman's privacies? I would have beaten him into sense of his transgression, enjoyed his wife before his face, and taught the dog his duty.
Oh, look you, Courtine, you think you are dealing with the landlord of your winter quarters in Alsatia now. Friend, there is a difference between a free-born English cuckold and a sneaking wittol of a conquered province.
By all means, there ought to be a difference observed between your arbitrary whoring and your limited fornication.
And my captain.
My sons of Mars and Ips of Venus, well encountered. Well, shall we have a sparkling bottle or two and use fortune like a jade? Bogard, you're a rogue, you're a dog, I hate you. Get you gone, go on.
But Sir Jolly, what news from paradise, Sir Jolly? Is there any hopes I shall come there tonight?
After a glass or two, my heart may open.
Why then, we'll have a bottle, Sir Jolly.
We'll have dozens, and drink till we're wise and speak well of nobody. Till we're lewder than midnight whores and outrail to standard office.
Oh, only one thing more, my noble knight, and then we are entirely at thy disposal.
What's the business?
This friend of mine here stands in need of thy assistance. He's damnably in love, Sir Jolly.
In love, odds my life. Who is she? What's her name? Where does she live? I warrant you, I know her. She's in my little book. I warrant you. Ah, no. Virgin wife or widow?
That's something of a difficult question, but as virgins go now, she may pass for one of them.
Virgin? Very good. Well, let me see. Virgin. Ah, here are the virgins. Yeah. Truly, I meet with the fewest of this sort of any. Yeah. Well, now, and the first letter of a name, sir, and a wager, I'll guess her.
Then you must know, Sir Jolly, that I love my love with an S.
S. Now, here are the S's. Now, let me consider now. Sappho.
No, sir.
No, Cylinder?
Neither.
Neither. Sophronia.
You must guess again, I assure you.
Well, Sylvia.
Aye, Sir Jolly, that's a fatal name. Sylvia, the fair, the witty, the ill-natured. Do you know her, my friend?
Know her? Well, she is my daughter. What? Yeah, I've adopted her these 7 years. Sylvia, now let me look. Light brown hair.
Yes.
Her face oval.
Yes.
A nose Roman.
Yes.
Quick sparkling eyes.
Yes.
Plump, pregnant ruby lips, yes, with a mole on her breast,
yes,
and the perfect likeness of a heart cherry on her left knee. Ah, Belinda! Oh, sly cap, have I caught you? Are you there, if there? Well, and what says she? Is she coming? Do her eyes betray her? Does her heart beat and her boobies rise when you talk?
Look, you, Sir Jolly, it may come to a marriage in time.
Marriage? I'll have nothing to do in it. Make me a matchmaker? A filthy marriage broker? I'll have nothing to do in matrimony. It is a damned invention.
Gentlemen, your private room is ready. Your wine and ice upon the table. Come, sir.
Aye. Wine. Give us wine. A pox of matrimony. Matrimony in the devil's room.
But if an honest harlot or two chance to inquire, but it's the jolly.
Right, landlord. If whores come, give them reverence and reception. And if nothing but whores, and the bottle come near it.
Now, Bloody Bones.
Yes, Forbin?
Use not my name. Oh. Be sure to behave yourself handsomely. Show yourself our cutthroat up parts and we'll fleece this Sir Davy Shewer.
Lady Dunn says we must be expeditious. Sir Jolly has given notice to Captain Mogard by this time so that nothing is wanting by the tricking of this overgrown gull, Sir Davy. And here he comes.
Very welcome, Sir Davy. Will it please you to walk into a private room, or shall I wait upon your honour's pleasure here?
Sweetheart, let us be quiet and bring us some wine, Hugh.
Yes, sir.
So, from this moment, war. War! And mortal dungeon against that enemy of my honour and thief of my good name, called Bogard.
Why, Sir Davy?
Eh? But yo, you can cut a throat upon occasion, you said, friend.
Sir, cutting of throats is my hereditary vocation. My father was hanged for cutting of throats before me, and my mother for cutting of purses.
No more to be said. My courage is mounted like a little Frenchman upon a great horse. I'll have him murdered.
Murdered, you say, sir?
Aye, murdered, I say, sir. His face flayed off, and nailed to a post in my great hall in the country, amongst all the trophies of wild beasts slain by our family since the conquest.
Sir, for that, let me recommend this worthy friend of mine to your service. Yeah. He's an industrious gentleman and one that will deserve your favour.
Mm. What trade are you, friend?
No trade at all, friend. I profess murder.
Oh, you profess murder?
Yes, sir. 'Tis my livelihood. I keep a wife and 6 children by it.
Then, sir, here's to you with all my heart. Pray, what countryman are you? Where were you born, most noble sir?
Indeed, my country is foreign. I was born in Algiers. My mother was an apostate Greek. My father, a renegade Englishman, who by oppressing of Christian slaves grew rich, for which, when he lay sick, I murdered him one day in his bed. Made my escape to Malta, where embracing the faith I had the honour given to me to command 1,000 horses aboard the galleys of that state.
Oh, Lord, sir. Oh, my humble service to you again.
He tells you, sir, but the naked truth.
Oh, I doubt it. Not in the least, most worthy, sir. He's a devilish fellow, as I warrant.
War, friend, and shine in honour has been our province till rusty peace reduced us to this base obscurity.
Meanwhile, to our business. Do you know this Bogard? He's a devilish fellow, I can tell you that.
Has he a heart, think you, sir?
Oh, like a lion. He fears neither God, man, nor devil.
I'll bring it to you for your breakfast tomorrow.
Eh?
Did you never eat a man's heart, sir?
Eat a man's heart, friend?
Aye, a man's heart, sir. It makes absolutely the best ragu in the world.
Oh.
I have eaten 40 of them in my time without bread.
Without bread? Oh, Lord, a man's heart. My humble service to you both, gentlemen.
Why, your Algerine pirates eat nothing else at sea. They have them always potted up, like venison.
You?
Your well-grown Dutchman's heart makes an excellent dish with oil and pepper.
Oil and pepper? Oh, Lord. Friend, a word with you.
Sir.
How much must you and your companion have to do this business?
What, and bring the heart home to your house?
No, don't keep the heart for your own eating.
You say, sir, he's a gentleman.
Aye, such a sort of gentleman as are about this town. How much will it cost me?
Truly, Sir Davy, if, as you say, the man must be well murdered without any remorse or mercy, 'tis honestly worth £200.
£200? Well, I'll have a physician. She'll kill a whole family for half the money.
Damn me, sir. How do you mean?
Damn me, sir. How do I mean? Damn me, sir. Not to part with me money.
Not part, brother? Have I for this disalsacian charms?
Eh?
Broke iron durance? Whilst from these firm legs the well-filed useless fetters dropped away?
What did he mean?
Truly, sir, I'm sorry to see it with all my heart. 'Tis a distraction that frequently seizes him.
Distraction, say you? Is he so apt to be distracted?
Oh, sir, I'm raging mad. Oh. We that live by murder are also. Guilt will never let us sleep. Oh, I beseech you, sir, stay clear of him. He's apt to be very mischievous at these unfortunate times.
Yeah. Have I been drunk with tender infant's blood and ripped up teeming wombs? Have these bald hands ransacked the temples of the gods and stabbed the priests before their altars? Have I done this? Ha!
I beseech you, sir, to mitigate his presence. I'll do anything in the world.
Well, nay, after all, sir, if you have not a mind to have him quite murdered, if a swinging drubbing to make him bedridden will serve your turn, you may have it at a cheaper rate.
Ah, drubbing? Aye, truly, sir, with all my heart. For methinks now I consider matters better. I would not by any means be guilty of another man's blood.
Why, then, let me consider. To have been beaten substantially, a beating that will remain with him will cost you half the money.
Oh, what? £100?
Sure, the devil's in you.
The devil? Where is the devil? Show me. I'll tell thee. Beelzebub, thou hast broke thy covenant. Didst thou not promise me eternal plenty when I resigned my soul to thy allurements? Touch me not yet. I've yet 10,000 murders to perform before I'm thine. With all these sins, I'll come with full damnation to thy caverns of endless pain and howl with thee forever.
Bless us. What will become of this mortal body of mine? Where am I? Is this house? Do I live? Am I flesh and blood?
There's the fiend again. Don't chatter so and grin at me. If thou must needs have prey, take him. This tempter that would bribe me with shining gold to stain my hands with new iniquity.
Stand off, I charge thee, Satan. Whosoever thou art, thou hast no right nor claim to me. Hark, your friend. Has this gentleman given his soul to the devil?
I only pawned it a little.
Let me beseech you, sir, to get rid of him as soon as you can. I'd like to drink a bottle with you, sir, but I hate the devil's company mortally. And as for the £100 here it is.
There, wretch, take this, and make thy peace with the infernal king.
Tristan, I'll follow thee. Lead on, Satan. Nay, if thou smile, I mar defy thee.
It is very odd, this.
Very odd indeed.
Now, sir, if you please, we'll refresh ourselves with a cheerful glass.
Oh, with all my heart, sir. But no more words of the devil, if you love me.
Oh, the devil's an ass, sir. And here's elf to all those that defy the devil.
You're not so full. That's too much in all conscience. In truth, friend, these are sad times, very sad times. But here's to you.
Talks on at times. The times are well enough, so long as a man has money in his pocket.
'Tis true. Here have I been bargaining with you about a murder, but never consider that idolatry is coming in full speed upon the nation. Pray, what religion are you of, friend?
Whatever religion you are of, sir.
Truly, a good conscience is a great happiness. But shan't the dog be murdered tonight?
My brother Rogue is going to settle him. The business shall be done effectually, I'll warrant you. He has rest to his soul.
With all my heart, Faith. I'd hate to be uncharitable.
Look here! Dogs! Haven't the ship painters to be sober? I have none.
The streets of Captain 14. My house will be utterly ruined by the sea.
Damn your house, your wife and children, and all your family,
Sir? Who are you?
What's that to you, sir? Will you tickle my foot, you rogue?
Tickle your
chaps! Tickle your chaps! Hey! Come on. I'll tickle your toe, if you do.
And I believe you are a rogue!
Sir, you're a whore. An arrant bitch whore. I'll use you like a whore. I'll kiss you, your jade. I'll ravish you, your monkey. I'm a justice of the peace, sir.
Damn you, sir. I care not if you were a constable at all his watch. What? Such a rogue as you send honest fellows to prison and countenance whores in your jurisdiction for bribery, you mongrel!
I'll beat you, sir! I'll bring you! I'll murder you! Break him!
Master, the business is done. We have bargained to murder you.
You are to be murdered, friend. You shall be murdered, friend.
But how am I to be murdered? Who's to murder me?
Your humble servant, Corbin. I am the man with your worship's leave. Sir Davy has given me this gold to do it handsomely.
Sir Davy? Uncharitable cur. What, murder an honest fellow for being civil to his family?
Yes. You are to be murdered tonight and buried. A bed with my lady, you jackstrawing.
I understand you, friends. The old gentleman has designed to have me butchered, and you have kindly contrived to turn it out to my advantage in the affair of love.
Your Honor has a piercing judgment.
Sir Jolly, when is this business to be brought about?
Now. 'Tis more than time. Get your gun. Go on, get your gun. Go!
Why, madam, will you use Courtine so inhumanly? I'm confident he loves you.
Oh, a true lover is to be found out like a true saint by the trial of his patience. Is the rope ready?
Here it is, madam.
One end tied to the balcony rail?
Yes, madam.
Then throw it over. Where's Will, the footman?
Here at your ladyship's command, madam.
Look. Look below. There's Courtine. At least going to sing.
And was she not frank and free, and was she not kind to me, to lock up her cat in her cupboard, and give her key to me, and give her key to me.
As I am a virgin, he's roaring drunk. But if I find not a way to make him sober...
Here's the window. Aye, that's hell door. And my damnation in the inside. Sylvia! Sylvia, Sylvia, dear imp of Satan, appear to thy servant.
Who calls on Sylvia in this dead of night?
A poor wretch can hardly stand upright. Drunk with thy love.
Courtine, is it you?
Yes, sweetheart, 'tis I. Art thou ready for me?
Fasten yourself that rope there round your waist and we'll pull you up.
Rope? Where?
There.
Where?
There.
Oh,
there.
Here, here. Ah, so, now to heaven at the end of a rope.
Have you tied it round you?
Yes, hussy.
Then pull away, Will.
Madam.
Now.
Up!
Up! So avast there, sir.
Madam.
Are you very much in love, sir?
Oh, damnably, child, damnably.
I'm sorry for it with all my heart. Where are you?
Hanging halfway up, child.
And that's where you'll be left hanging. Good night, Captain.
Done. What? Left in Erasmus' paradise between heaven and hell. Oh, woman, woman, woman. Well, a merry life and a short, that's all. And was she not frank and free? And was she not kind to me?
Murder, 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 murder!
Is someone shouting murder below there? I'd best shift for myself and climb up onto the balcony. So.
Stay back down, sir. Down, sir. Oh, you're up.
Only for a moment. Pardon me, madam.
What? He climbs up onto my balcony and then falls down in a dead drunk at my feet. Will! Will!
Madam.
Oh, come and help me drag him inside.
Lie still, Bogart, your knave. Close, like you're supposed to look as though you were dead.
Put some more blood on his face, lady.
But pray, how long must I lie thus?
I'll warrant you'll think the time mighty tedious.
Oh, sweet creature. Who can counterfeit death when you are near?
You shall, sir, or all will be spoiled else if you do not. Now stretch out more blood on his chest there. Also, now. Hold your breath. Hmm? Hold your breath. Very well.
Madam, here comes the Davy.
What so now? Stir if you dare. Stir but any part of you if you dare. Lie still. Look dead.
My dear, how dost thou do, my dear? I've come.
Ah, sir, what is't you have done? You have ruined me, your family, your fortune. All is ruined. All. Where shall we go, or whither shall we fly?
Where shall we go? Why, we go to bed, you little jacket-handy. Why, you're not a Wenzero, you're a boy. The very boy. Thou lookest the better for it. Sir, hey!
Sir, see there.
There. Lysias, a man bleeding upon my table. That table cost me...
Two ruffians brought him in just now, pronouncing this inhuman deed was done by your command.
Aye.
Sir Jolly came in the same minute, or sure I had died with my fears. Mm. How could you think on a revenge so horrid?
As I hope to be saved, neighbour. I only bargained with him to bastinade to him. As one friend might do to another. You say he's dead?
Oh.
Dead. Dead as clay. Stark, stiff and useless, nothing about him stirring, all's cold and still.
Oh, what shall I do? I throw myself upon him and kiss his wide wound.
No! Come not near him. There's such a horrid antipathy follows all murders. His wounds would stream afresh should you but touch him.
Dear neighbours, it's jolly. As I love charity, pity my wretched case. I'll give my wife and all my estate to have him live again. Or should I bury him in the arbour at the upper end of the garden?
Alas, Adini, but never think on't. Never think on't. The dogs will find him there when they scrape holes to bury bones. There is but one way that I can think of.
What is it, neighbour? What is it? Look, you see, I'm on my knees to you. Take all I have and ease me of my fears.
Truly. The best thing that I can think of is putting of him to bed. Putting him into a warm bed and try to fetch him to life again.
Yeah.
A warm bed is the best thing in the world. Now, my lady may do much, too.
Oh.
She's a good woman.
Yeah.
And I've been told understands a flesh wound well.
My dear, but they do so much as try thy skill. Put him in thy own bed. And try what thou canst do with him. Come, prithee do, prithee do. I'll go up to my closet in the garret and say my prayers in the meanwhile.
Will ye then leave this ruin on my hands?
Pray. Pray, my dear. I beseech you, neighbour.
Sir?
Help to persuade her, if it be possible.
Faith, madam, do try what you can do. I have a great fancy you may do him good. Who can tell? But you may have the gift of stroking.
Yes.
Pray, madam, be persuaded.
I'll do whatever's your pleasure.
That's my best, dear. I'll go to my closet and pray for thee heartily. Oh, alas. Alas that ever this should have happened.
Is he gone, madam?
My angel.
What? No thanks, no reward for old Jolly Day. Come hither, hussy. You little canary bird. You little hop of my thumb. Come hither. Make me a curtsy and give me a kiss, Nick. Oh, go and give me a kiss. I say, aunt, I will have a kiss. So I will. I will have a kiss if I'm set on. Shoo, shoo, shoo. Now get you into a corner with that bid you. Shoo, know what? There already. Ah, well, I had done. This tis to be an old felony.
Will you save the life of him you have wounded?
Dare you trust yourself to my skill for a cure?
My dear, can I
enter? No! Sweet, the patient is most delicately poised betwixt life and death. Pray, sweet.
Do but give me some comfort in my heart's broke. Are there any hopes yet? I've tried to say my prayers and I cannot. If you be quite dead, I shall never pray again. Neighbour, no hope?
Truly, little or none. Some small pulse, I think there is left. Very little left. There's nothing to be done if you don't pray. Now get you to your prayers, whatever you do. Get you gone.
Well, this is a great trouble to me. Good night.
Good night to you, dear neighbour. Now, you think. Now, be sure you remember. Don't ye stir till I come back and I'm under the bed. I'll only bolt the door that belongs to Sir Davy's room that he may be safe. And we're with you in a twinkle. Bonnie lass, if thou wert mine, and £20,000 about thee, I'd call you queen, my love divine, and live as free as a rich grandee. Just thee and me. Just thee. And me.
Hey-ho, hey-ho. Huh? Where am I? Was I drunk or no last night? Oh, something leaning that way. Where the devil am I? What? Lying tied with a rope to a couch? In a bawdy house? Oh, what tricks have I played to come into this condition? I have lighted into the territories of some merrily disposed chambermaid or other, and she, in a witty fit forsooth, hath trussed me up thus. Would I had her mistress here.
And what would you do with her? My enchanted knight, if you had her. You're too sober for her by this time. Next time you get drunk, you may gale her balcony like a valiant captain as you are.
Hast thou done this, my dear destruction? And am I in that limbo? I must confess, when I'm in my beer, my courage does run away with me now and then. But let me loose, and thou shalt see what a gentle, humble animal thou hast made me. Fie upon what? Tie me up like an ungovernable cur? Let thy poor dog loose, that he may fawn and make much of thee.
What? With those paws? Which are very dirty still? After you've been dangling yourself abroad for prey and can meet with none, you come sneaking hither for a crust, do you?
Shall I fetch the whip, madam, and slash him for his roguery soundly?
Fetch it here at once.
Indeed, indeed. Do you long to be firking of man's flesh, madam Fleetrap?
If you should be let loose and taken into favour now, you would be for rambling again so soon as you'd got your liberty.
Do but try me, and if ever I prove recreant, let me be beaten and used like a dog in good earnest.
Promise to grant me but one request, and it shall be done.
Hear me but swear upon the word of a gentleman, nay, as I hope to get money in my pocket.
You'll keep your word, you say?
If I don't, hang me up in a wench's old garter.
See, sir, you have your freedom. I untie you.
Well, now, name the price. What must I pay for it?
You know, sir, considering our small acquaintance, you've been pleased to talk to me very freely of love matters.
I must confess I have been something to blame that way, but if ever thou hearest more of it from my mouth after this night's adventure, would I were well out of this house.
Have a care of swearing, I beseech you, for you must understand that, spite of my teeth, I am at last fallen in love most unmercifully. Try if you can guess him.
Where he is, he's an honest fellow, I warrant him, and I believe will not think himself very unhappy, neither.
If a fortune of £5,000, pleasant nights, and quiet days can make him happy, I assure you he may be so. But try once to guess at him.
You have £5,000, you say?
Yes.
Faith, child, I know well enough who 'tis I wish you loved. But, sweetheart, before I tell you my inclinations, it were but reasonable that I knew yours.
I'll hold you in suspense no longer. You must know I have a month's mind for an armful of your dearly beloved friend and brother captain, Captain Bogard. What say you to it?
Madam, your humble servant. God be with you, that's all.
What? Thus cruelly leave a lady that so kindly took you in your last night's pickle into her lodging? Whither would you rove now, my wanderer?
Faith, madam, you have dealt so gallantly in trusting me with your passion that I cannot stay here without telling you that I am three times as much in love with an acquaintance of yours as you could be with any friend of mine.
Not with my waiting woman, I hope, sir.
No, but it is with a certain kinswoman of thine, child. They call her my Lady Dunce, and I think this is her house, too. Therefore, prithee, be charitable and show me the way to her chamber.
What? Commit adultery, Captain? Firepont. What? Hazard your soul?
No, only venture me bother a little, that's all. Look, you know the secret and may imagine my desires, therefore, as you would have me assist your inclinations, pray be civil and help me to mine. No qualms. Show me the way. Any board will serve me a present, for I will go.
You shan't go, sir.
Shan't go, lady.
No, shan't go, sir. Did I not tell you when once you'd got your liberty that you would be rambling again?
Why, child, wouldst thou be so uncharitable to tie up a poor jay to an empty rack in thy stable when he knows where to go elsewhere and get satisfaction enough? But I confess, I had rather graze in a field of my own than run the hazard of being pounded every day for trespasses.
Truly, all things considered, 'tis a great pity so good a husbandman as you should want a farm to cultivate.
Wouldst thou be but kind and let me have a bargain in a tenement of thine to try how it would agree with me?
And would you be contented to take a lease for life?
A pretty lady of the manor and a moderate rent.
Which you'll be sure to pay very punctually?
If thou doubtest my honesty, faith, even take a little taste beforehand.
Not so hasty neither, good tenant. You must be a constant residence and not leave the house uninhabited.
Agreed.
Item. For your own sake, you shall promise to keep the estate well fenced and enclosed, lest some time or other your neighbour's cattle break in and spoil the crop on the ground.
Very just and reasonable, provided I don't find many others haven't grazed there already.
Item. You shall enter into strict covenant not to take any other farm upon your hands without my consent. Or if you do, that then it shall be lawful for me to get me another tenant, how and where I think fit.
Faith, that's hard, though, landlady.
Upon these terms we'll draw articles.
And when shall we sign them?
Why, this morning at 10, as soon as the marriage office in Covent Garden is open.
A bargain? But how will you answer your having a drunken redcoat in your lodgings at these unseasonable hours?
That's a secret you will be hereafter obliged to keep for your own sake and for the family. Your friend Bogard shall answer for us there.
Indeed, I fancied the rogue had mischief in his head. He behaved himself so soberly last night. Has he taken a farm lately too?
A trespasser, I believe, if the truth were known.
Madam! Madam, have a care of yourself. I see lights in the great hall. Whatever is the matter, Sir Davy and all the family are up.
I hope they'll come and catch me here now you've brought me into this condition. Faith, put thy mark upon me quickly, that if I fall into strange hands, they may know me for a sheep of thine.
If it must be so, come, follow your shepherd.
Now must I love her still, though I know I'm a blockhead for it. And she'll use me like a blockhead, too, if I don't prevent her. What's to be done? I'll have 3 whores a day to keep love out of my head.
Courtine! Well met.
How goes the affair of love forward?
Oh, I assure you, most triumphantly.
Just now, you must know, I am parted with the sweet, civil, enchanted lady's husband. Well, and what says the cuckold? Is he very kind and good-natured as cuckolds used to be?
Why, he says, Courtine, in short, that I am a very silly fellow, and truly I am very apt to believe him, and that I have been jilted in this affair most unconscionably. A plague upon all pimps, I say. A man's business never thrives so well as when he is his own solicitor.
I see Sir Jolly come. Ah. I'll away.
Captain, 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 here's luck. Never, never, Captain, never, if not now, Captain, here's luck.
Sir Jolly, no more adventures. Sweet Sir Jolly, I am like to have a very fine time on truly.
The best in the world, dear dog, the very best in the world. But the lady is here, man. She's all thy own. Tis thy own fault if thou art not in terra incognita within this half hour. Come along, prithee, come along. Fie for shame. What make a lady lose her longing? Come along, I say, you out upon.
Sir, you're humble. I shan't stir from this bench.
What? Not go?
No, sir. No lady for me.
Away you wag, you jest, you whack. Not go.
No, sir, not go, I tell you.
And do you think then that I'll be useless?
Yes, sir.
Take away my reputation as pander, and take away my life. I shall be disgraced forever.
I have not wronged you, Sir Jolly.
Not wronged me. But you'll find that you have wronged me and wronged a sweet lady and a fine lady. Oh, I shall never be trusted again. Never have employment more. I shall die of the spleen. Prithee, now, prithee, be good-natured, prithee. Be persuaded. Oh, look, I'll give thee this ring. I'll give thee this watch. 'Tis gold. I'll give thee anything in the world, gold.
Not 1 foot, sir.
Well, shall I fetch it to thee? Oh, what shall I do for thee? Art is here, now she comes herself. Now you will need to churn, now you devil, look upon her. Do but look upon her. Hast thou eyes, hast thou a heart, hast thou anything thou shouldst have? Odds, I'll tickle thee. Now get you to her, you fool, get you to her, do it.
Have you forgot me, Bogard?
Madam?
So now to her again, I say, to her, and be hanged. Rogue. Now, ever to have it. There it goes.
Methinks this face should not so much be altered as to be nothing like what I once thought it, the object of your pleasure and subject of your praises.
Cunning toad, wheedling jade, you shall see now how by degrees she'll draw him into the whirlpool of love. Now he leers upon her, now he leers upon her. Oh, Lord, there's eyes. I must pinch him on the calf.
Oh! Madam, I must confess, I do remember that I had once an acquaintance with a face whose air and beauty much resembled yours, and if I may trust my heart, you are called Clarinda.
Clarinda! I was called, till my ill fortune wedded me. Now you may have heard of me by another title. Your friend there, I suppose, has made nothing a secret, do you?
And are you, then, that kind, enchanted fair one who was so passionately in love with my picture that you could not forbear betraying me to the beast, your husband, and wrong the passion of a gentleman that languished for you only to make your monster merry?
Oh, Lord, all spoiled again, all ruined.
And are you the passionate adorer of our sex who cannot live a week in London without loving? Are you the spark that sends your picture up and down to longing ladies?
Yes, madam, when I receive so good hostages as these gold pieces, could you find nobody but me to play the fool with all?
Lackaday!
Could you pitch upon nobody but that wretched woman that has loved you too well to abuse thus?
That ever I was born.
Here, here's your money, madam, which I return to you. I return you your dirt. I scorn your wages as I do your service.
Oh! Fie for shames! What? Refund? That is not like a soldier to refund. Keep it. To pay your sempstress.
His sempstress? Who the devil is his sempstress? Odd, what would I give to know that?
There was a ring, too, which I sent you this afternoon. If that fit not your finger, you may dispose of it some other way.
A ring, madam?
A small trifle. I suppose the Davy delivered it to you when he returned you your miniature.
Madam!
Farewell, you traitor!
As I hope to be saved and upon the word of a gentleman!
Go, you are a false, ungrateful brute, and trouble me no more.
Sir Jolly, Sir Jolly, Sir Jolly!
Oh, thou rebel!
Some advice, dear friend, or I'm ruined!
2 pennyworth of vamp rope. That's all the remedy that I know.
Did he hear a little reason?
No, sir! I have done! No more to be said. I have done. I am ashamed of you. I have no more to say to you. I'll never see your face again. God be with you.
Death and the devil, a ring delivered by Sir Davy. What can that mean? Ah, pox on her for a jilt. She lies and has a mind to amuse and laugh at me a day or two longer. Hist, here comes Sir Davy once more. I'll use him civilly and try what discovery I can make.
The captain, and I still have his ring. Faith. A very pretty stone. Finely set. If I should keep it now, I'll say I've lost it. Yeah, no. No, I'll give it him again on purpose to vex him.
Sir Davy, I am heartily sorry.
No, sir, it is you I was seeking for.
me, sir?
Aye, you, sir, if your name be Captain Bogart.
Oh, would you please, sir?
I have commands of service to you, sir. Oh, Lord.
Me, sir.
Aye, sir. Will you put on your hat, friend? Put on your hat.
Sir, will you please to sit down on this bench?
Yeah, no. There's no need. No need. For all I have a young wife, I can stand upon my legs, sweetheart.
Sir, I beseech you, sit.
Yeah, by no means. Here. Do you see this? Here's the ring you sent to Roving, sir. Do you think my wife wants anything that you can help her to? Why? I warrant you this ring cost £50. I should have given it to them before, but faith, I forgot it. Though it was not my wife's fault, in the least. For she says, as thou likest this usage, she hopes to have thy custom again.
Then, sir, I beseech you tell her that you have made a convert of me, and that I am so sensible of my insolent behaviour towards her, and that if she ever finds me guilty of the like offence again, let her banish all good opinion of me forever.
More to be said. Your servant. God be with you.
Oh, one word more, I beseech you, Sir Davy. I beg you tell her that the generous reproof she has given me has so wrought upon me that I esteem this ring not only as a wreck redeemed from my folly, but that for her sake I will preserve it to the end of my life.
With all my heart, I vow and swear.
And that I long to convince her I am not the brute she might mistake me for.
No. Let me see. First, you acknowledge yourself to be a very impudent fellow.
I do so, sir.
And that you shall never be at rest till you've satisfied me, lady.
Right, sir. You're
satisfied. Satisfied. Very good. And that you'll never play the fool any more. Be sure you keep your word, friend.
Never, sir.
And that you'll keep that ring for her sake as long as you live.
To the day of my death, I'll assure you.
Well, I'll take care of your business. I'll do your business. I warrant you.
So, now I find a husband is a delicate instrument rightly made use of. To make her old jealous coxcomb pimp for me himself, I think is as worthy an employment as such a noble consort can be put to. Ah, were ye all such husbands and such wives, we younger brothers should lead better lives.
To fall in love. And to fall in love with a soldier. Nay, a disbanded soldier, too. A fellow with a mark of Cain upon him, which everybody knows him by and is ready to throw stones at him for.
Oh, there she stands.
damn her. I shall never enjoy her without ravishing. If she were very rich and very ugly, I would marry her. Madam.
Sir.
'Tis a very hard case that you have resolved not to let me be quiet.
'Tis very unreasonable of you, sir, to follow me up and down everywhere at this scandalous rate. The world will think we are acquainted shortly.
But, madam, I shall fairly take care of my reputation and from this time forward shun and avoid you most watchfully.
Have you not haunted this place these 2 hours?
To show you how despicably I think of the business, I will here leave you presently, though I lose the pleasure of railing at you.
Do so, I would advise you. Your raillery betrays your wit, as your clumsy civility does your breeding.
Adieu.
Farewell.
Why do you not go about your business?
Because I would be sure to be rid of you first, that you might not dog me.
Were it but possible that you could answer me one question truly, then I should be satisfied.
Anything to be rid of you.
Are you really very honest? Look into my face and tell me that.
Look in your face and tell you for what? To spoil my stomach for my supper?
No, to get thee a stomach for thy bed, sweetheart.
Your only way to bring that business about effectually is to be more troublesome. And if you think it worth your while to be abused substantially, you may make your personal appearance this night.
How? Where? And when? And what hour?
Under my window. Between the hours of 11 and 12, exactly.
There shall those lovely eyes and ears hear my plaints and see my tears.
At that kind hour thy griefs shall end, if thou canst know foe from friend.
Here's another trick of the devil now, under that window between the hours of 11 and 12, exactly. I'm a damned fool and must go. Let me see. Suppose I meet with a lusty beating. Pish, that's nothing for a man that's in love. Or suppose she contrives some way to make a public fool of me. Why, if she do, I'll swear I've lain with her and beat her relations if they try to vindicate her. Well, there's one love intrigue pretty well over.
Master Vermin! Oof. Go. Get you into the lady now and tell her that I'm coming.
Her ladyship is not at home, Sir Davy.
How's that? My lady not at home? Run in and ask when she went forth, where she's gone, and who's with her. Run and ask, Vermin.
She went out after you this afternoon.
Then I may be a cuckold still for aught I know. What will become of me? I have surely lost, and ne'er shall find her more. She promised me strictly to stay at home until I came back again. For aught I know, she may be taking the air as far as Knightsbridge. Some smooth-faced rogue or another. That damned house, that swan at Knightsbridge. I'll lock her up 3 days and 3 nights without meat, drink or light. I'll humble her in the devil's name.
Ah, Sir Davy, my friend of friends. Such news. Such tidings.
I've lost my wife, man.
Lost her? She's not dead, I hope.
Yes, alas, she's dead, irrevocably lost.
Why, I parted with her within this half hour.
Did you so? Are you sure to see?
Aye.
Where was it?
And she made the purest sport now with a young fellow, man, that she met accidentally.
Oh, no, that's worse and worse. Mm. A young fellow? My wife making sport with a young fellow? Oh, Lord, here are doings. Here are vagaries. I'll run mad. I'll climb Bow Steeple presently and preach-cockle them to the whole city.
The best of all was, too, that it happened to be an idle coxcomb that pretended to be in love with her neighbour.
Indeed, in love with her. Who was it? What's his name? Ah, I'll warrant you won't tell anybody. I'll indict him, I'll issue warrants. Is he a very handsome young fellow, huh?
Handsome, yes. Hanging the fellow's handsome enough, but he's not very handsome.
No.
He has a devilish leering black eye.
Oh, Lord.
His face is a good riding face.
No. Why the devil did I marry a young wife? Is he well-shaped, too? Tall, eh?
Tall? No, he's not very tall, neither.
No.
Yet he's...
No.
Well, he's tall enough. Mm. Yeah, more of your true English breed. Well-knit, able, and fit for service, old boy.
Oh.
I've seen the rogue leap like a buck.
Well, what do you think, friend? Has he been there? Come, come, I'm sensible. She's a young woman and I'm an old fellow. Trust a very old fellow. I signify little or nothing now. But do you think he's prevailed? Am I a cuckold, neighbour?
Cuckold? What's a cuckold in Covent Garden? No. I assure you, I believe her to be the most virtuous woman in the world, if you'd but seen.
Aye, what I had. What was it?
How like a rogue she used him.
Eh?
First of all, he comes up to her. Madam, says he, and then he bows down thus. How now, says she, what would the impertinent fella have?
Oh, well, what then?
Madam, says he again, bowing as he did before. My heart is so entirely yours that except you take pity of my sufferings, I must die here at your feet.
So, so. What sits he again, eh?
Go.
You are a pop.
Yes, indeed. Did she say so? Indeed. Oh, I'm glad of it. So I'm very glad of it. Well, what next?
Madam, says he, this won't do. I am your humble servant for all this. You may pretend to be as ill-natured as you please, but I shall make bold. Oh,
was there ever such an impudent fellow?
With that, sinner, says she, you are a saucy jackanapes, and I'll have you kicked.
Kicked you, sir.
Well, I would but be unmarried again.
But the best jest of all was this should be.
I, who indeed. I'll warrant you some silly fellow or another poor fool.
A scandalous rakel that lingers up and down the town by the name of Captain Bogard.
Hang you, sot. Is it he? I don't value him this. Not a wet finger, man. To my knowledge, she hates him. She scorns him, neighbour. I know it. I'm very well satisfied at the point. Besides, I've seen him since that. And about Hector him. Oh. I'm to tell her from his own mouth that he promises never to affront her more.
Indeed.
Aye.
Oh, shush. Here's your Lady Dumps.
Who?
I'll be gone, your humble servant. I'll be with you.
No, faith, Sir Jolly. You can go into my house now and stay supper together a great while. Oh.
This may give me an opportunity to set all things right again.
Pray wait for me within.
Oh, within, sir, within. I
My dear.
Sir?
You have been abroad, my dear, I see.
Only for a little air. Truly, I was almost stifled within doors. I hope you will not be angry, Sir Davy, will you?
Angry, child? No, child, not I. What should I be angry for?
I wonder, Sir Davy, you will serve me at this rate. Hmm? Did you not promise me to go in my behalf to Bogard and correct him according to my instructions for his insolence?
So I did, child. I've been with him, sweetheart. I have told him all to a tittle and gave him back again the picture, too. But, as the devil would have it, I forgot the ring, faith I did.
Did you purpose, Sir Sodom, to render me ridiculous to the man I abominate? What scandalous interpretation think you must he make of my retaining any trifle of his?
Really, my lamb, thou art of the right. Yes. I went back afterwards, dear heart, and did the business to some purpose.
Oh, I am glad that you did, with all my heart.
Why, I told him that if he liked that usage, he might come again.
Aye, let him.
With all my heart. Though thou wouldst not imagine how the poor devil's altered. La, certain as I stand here, that man is troubled, that he swears he shall not rest day or night till he has satisfied thee. Ah. Prithee be satisfied with him, if it is possible, my dear. Prithee do.
Sir Davy, I must tell you that I cannot but resent your so soon reconcilement with a man that I hate worse than death, and that if you loved me with half that tenderness which you profess, you would not forget an affront so palpably and so basely offered me.
Why, chicken, where's the remedy? What's to be done?
Cut his throat.
Well, bless us forever. Cut his throat? What, do murder?
Murder, yes. Anything to such an incorrigible enemy of your honour. One that has resolved to persist in abusing of you. See here this letter? Hmm? This I received since I last parted with you. Just now it was thrown into my chair by an impudent lackey of his.
Let me see. A letter indeed, eh? For the Lady Dunce. Damned rogue, treacherous dog. What can he say of the inside now? I'll break it open.
If you have the spirit of a gentleman in you, carry it back and dash it, as it is, in the face of that audacious fellow.
A gentleman? Yes, madam, I am a gentleman, and the world shall find out that I am a gentleman. I am certainly the best woman in the world.
What do you think must be the end of all this? I have no refuge in the world but your kindness. Had I a jealous husband now, how miserable must my life be?
Poor fool. No, dear, I'm not jealous, and I never will be jealous of thee. Do what thou wilt. Thou shalt not make me jealous. I love thee too well to suspect thee.
But how long will you do so?
How long? As long as I live, I warrant thee. Don't talk to a body so. I cannot hold of thou dost. My eyes will run over. Poor fool, poor bird, this poor lambkin.
But will you once more endeavour to make that traitor sensible?
Aye, I will.
But don't stay away too long, dear. Make what haste you can. I shall be in pain till I see you again.
But dear, my love, my baby, I'll be with you in a moment. Oh, how happy am I above the rest of men. Child, don't be troubled. Prithee, don't be troubled. Was there ever such a wife? Well, da, don't be troubled. Prithee, don't be troubled. Prithee, don't be troubled. Da.
Sir Jolly, well met.
Has your husband gone?
Yes, Sir Jolly. Oh. Can you guess whereabout my wandering officer Bogard may be found now?
Found, lady. Spent my house here presently, lady.
Then come both and play cards with me this evening for an hour or two, for I have contrived it so that Sir Davy is to be abroad at supper tonight. He cannot avoid it. I long to win some of the captain's money, strangely.
Do you so, my gamester? Well, I'll be sure to bring him, and for what he carries about him, I warrant you. Ah, he's a pretty fellow. He's a very pretty fellow, yeah. He has only one fault.
And what is that, sir?
Only too loving, too good-natured, that's all. 'Tis certainly the best-natured fool breathing, that's all his fault.
I think I see company coming. If you please, Sir Jolly, we'll go in.
Oh, 'tis Bogard himself, the very same. Also, Sir Davy asked him to.
Oh, I...
Let's be gone, so. Do but look upon him now. Mind him a little. There's a shape, there's an air, there's a motion. Oh, rogue, devil. Get you in, I say. There's a shape for you. Let's be gone.
What the devil shall I do to recover this day's loss again? My honourable pimp, too, my pander knight, has forsaken me.
Sir, 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 a word with you, sir.
Is old Davy here again? There can be no good fortune for me when he's at my heels.
Captain, captain, noble captain. One word, I beseech you.
Will you never have remorse of conscience, friend? Have you banished all shame from your soul? Do you consider, my name is Sir David Dunce, that I have the most virtuous wife living?
Your virtuous wife, sir? You are always harping upon that string, Sir Davy.
No. 'Tis you would be harping upon that string, sir. See you this. Cast your eyes upon this letter, sir.
Hmm?
Did you not promise this very day to abandon all manner of proceedings of this nature, tending to the dishonor of me and my family?
Letter? What the devil does he mean now? Let me see. For the Lady Dunce. This is not scrawl of mine, I'll be sworn. By Jove, her own hand! Ah, what a dog was I! 40-1, I'd played the fool and spoiled all again! Was there ever so charming a creature breathing? Did your lady deliver this to your hands, sir?
Even her own self in person, sir.
As you are here, sir, and all is known, I'll read what I wrote to your wife. I doubt not but this letter will surprise you, but reflect upon the manner of conveying it to your hand as kindly as you can.
Aye, a damn thief. To have it thrown into the chair by a footman.
And let me continue. Would Sir Davy were but half so kind to you as I am.
Insinuating knave.
But he, I am satisfied, is so severely jealous that except you contrive some way to let me see you this evening, I fear all will be hopeless.
Impudent traitor.
In order to which either appear yourself or somebody for you half an hour hence in the Piazza Covent Garden. Adieu.
Thanks to you, noble sir, with all my heart. You are come, I see, accordingly. But as a friend, I'm bound in conscience to tell you the business won't do. The trick won't pass, friend. You may put up your pipes and march off. Oh, Lord. You lie with my wife. Push! You make Sir David Dunce a cuckold. Poor wretch.
There is my husband, Master Forbin. Succeed and be rewarded.
Other people may think what they please, but in my own opinion, my disguise is perfect. I'll be canonized. The sir, sir, sir.
Would you speak with me, friend?
Sir, may commands were to attend, your worship.
Who do you belong to?
Sir, I am a small instrument of the city. I serve the Lord Mayor in his office there.
How? The Lord Mayor?
Yes, sir, who desires you by all means to do him the honor of company at supper this evening.
It will be the greatest honor I ever received in my life. What? My Lord Mayor invite me to supper? I am his lordship's most humble servant.
Yes, sir, if your name be Sir David Dunce, he desires you make what haste you can, for that he has some matters of importance to communicate, your honour, which may take some time.
Communicate with me? Oh, he does me too noble a favour. I'll fly upon the wings of ambition to lay myself at his footstool.
What answer will your worship charge me back with all?
Let his lordship know that I'm amazed and confounded at his generosity, and that I'm so transported with the honour he does me that I will not fail to wait on him in the roasting of an egg.
I am your worship's lowly slave.
I'll hurry home now. I'll get the coach ready. I'll get me the gold medal, too, and chain which I took from the Roman Catholic officer for a popish relic. I'll be fine. I'll shine and drink wine that's divine. My Lord Mayor invite me to supper.
I hope it will all succeed. Ah, oh, my dearest, I'm glad to see thee returned home safely. Hast thou seen the traitor, Bogard?
Eh? Seen him? Oh, well, of course I've seen him, but I've seen him. A pox on him, seen him.
Well, and what has become of him? Where is he?
Why dost thou ask me where he is? What a pox care I what becomes of him. Don't trouble me with thy impertinence. I'll stand off.
Oh, you're not angry, my dear, are you?
No, but I am pleased, and that's all one. I'm only to sup with my Lord Mayor. That's all. Nothing else in the world. Only the business of the nation calls upon me. That's all.
You always think my company troublesome. You never stay at home to comfort me. What think you I should do alone by myself all this evening? Moping in my chamber. Oh, pray, my joy, stay with me for once. I hope he won't take me at my word.
I say again and again, would you stand off? I will not lose my preferment for my pleasure. Honours are upon me.
You are very cruel to me.
Oh, I can't help that. I'll be back again before I die. In the meantime, be humble and conformable. Go! Vermin! Is the coach ready?
Yes, sir.
Well, Lady Dunce, what? Nothing for my Lady Mayoress? You have a great deal of breeding, indeed. A great deal. Nothing for my Lady Mayoress?
My service to her, if you please.
Oh, well. Da-da. Farewell.
Ah. Madam, is he gone?
In post-haste, I assure you.
And Joff and Jock go with him.
Do you then, Sir Jolly, conduct Captain Bogart hither, whilst I go and dispose of the servants, that we may be private?
Coachman, I'm plaguey sorry to have to come back home, but troth, I forgot my medal and chain quite, and clean forgot my relic. But if I go, please, please backstairs for fear of meeting my wife again. She is the troublesomest loving fool. I would not have my wife catch me for a guinea.
Are you certain, madam, nobody is this way?
Is it your care of me or your personal fears that make you so suspicious?
Oh.
Sir Davy is far enough off by this time. The coach drove him away. Come, sir, shall we call for the cards?
And what shall we play for, pretty one?
Mean what you think best, sir.
Silver kisses or golden joys? Come, let's make stakes.
Oh, rogue, are you there? Have I got you with me?
No. How long before Sir David returns from supper?
Long enough for Master Forbin has orders not to give him over before dawn, I assure you.
Well, go and prepare the bedroom.
Let's vow eternal and raise our thoughts to expectations of immortal pleasures. In one another's eyes, let's read our joys till we've no longer power over our desires. Drunk with this dissolving... Sir Davy!
Sir Davy!
The cuckold! I'm off.
Oh, Lord, man! A man in my wife's chamber! Murder, murder! Thieves, thieves! Shut up indoors! Madam, madam, madam!
Thieves, thieves! Murder, murder, murder! Where, neighbour? Where, murder? Where? Whose sword's this?
The thief's! He dropped it rushing out!
Give it me!
Oh!
Pierce this wretched heart hard to the hilt. Dye it in the deepest crimson of my blood. Blasted ever be these two baneful eyes that could inspire a barbarous villain to attempt such crimes.
Oh, what in the name of Satan does she mean now?
Nay, you shall hear me.
Hey, madam, no, I've seen too much, I thank you heartily. Hey, quotha.
Yes, before I die too, I'll be justified.
Justified? Oh, Lord, justified.
Notice being given me of your return. I came with speed to this room from when behind the arras out starts Bogard.
No.
How he came there, heaven knows.
I'll have him hang for burglary. Very good.
Straight in his arms, he grasped me fast, stopped my mouth, and with a conqueror's fury, stopped my...
Oh, Lord, no more, no more. Oh, I beseech thee, I'll grow mad, and very mad. I'll plough up rocks and adamantine iron bars. I'll crack the flame of nature, sally out like Tamerlan upon the Trojan horse, and drive the pygmies all like geese before me. And what then? Stop thy mouth, eh? Well, ha!
No, though unfortunate, I still am innocent.
Oh.
His cursed purpose could not be accomplished.
Oh.
But who will live so injured? No, I'll die to be revenged on myself.
Yes.
I ne'er can hope that I may see his streaming gore, and thus I let out my own. I'll run upon his sword!
No. What wilt thou do, my love? Oh, prithee, don't break my heart. If thou wilt kill, kill me. I know thou art innocent. I see thou art. Though I had rather be cuckolded 1,000 times than lose thee.
poor love. Oh, dearie, poor baby.
Oh, lackaday.
Ah, me.
Ah, prithee be comforted now, prithee do. Why, I love thee better for this, for all this, man. Why shouldst be troubled for another's ill-doings? I know it was no fault of thine.
No, no more, it was not, I dare swear.
See, my neighbour weeps too. He is troubled to see thee thus.
Oh, but revenge.
Why, thou shalt have revenge. I'll have him murdered. I'll have his throat cut before tomorrow morning, child. Why, he shall be crow's meat by tomorrow night, chicken.
Then I will live. Whence I in peace may lead a happy life with such a husband.
I with such a wife. Vermin! Oh, I can't sleep. I cannot sleep. I shall not sleep again. I've prayed so long that were I to be hanged presently, I've never a prayer left to help myself. I was no sooner laid upon the bed just now and fallen into a slumber, but methought the devil was carrying me down Ludgate Hill a gallop. Six puny fiends with flaming firefogs running before him to throw me headlong into Fleet Ditch, which seemed to be turned into a lake of fire and brimstone. Oh, what to a morning.
Truly, sir, it has been a very dismal night.
But didst thou meet never a white thing upon the stairs?
No, sir, not I. But methought I saw our dog, Towser, with his great collar on, stand at the cellar door as I came by.
No, it could never be Towser had a chain. Had this thing a chain?
No, sir, no chain. But it had Towser's eyes.
What? Ugly, great, frightful eyes?
Huge saucer eyes. But mightily like Towser's.
Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Look, look! What's that? What's that in the corner there?
Where?
There!
What? Up on the iron chest?
No, the long black thing up in the old clock case. See? See? Now it stirs. It's coming this way.
Oh, alas, sir. Well, speak to it. You're a justice of the peace. Oh, I beseech you. I dare not stay in the house. I'll call the watch and tell them hell's broke loose. What shall I do? Ow!
Oh, vermin, if thou art a true servant, have pity on thy master. Do not forsake me in this distressed condition. Satan, begone! I defy thee. I'll repent and be saved. I'll say my prayers. I'll go to church. Help, 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 help! Oh, is there anything I know? In what hole shall I hide myself?
That should be Sir Davy's voice. The waiting woman told me he was afraid and could not sleep.
Master Forbins.
Master Bloody Bones.
You pretty fellas both. You've done your business handsomely. I'll warrant you've been a whoring to get a name of that.
Well, I like you the better for it. Get you gone, sir. I hear Sir Davy come.
What art thou? Approach thou, like a rugged backside bear, the chief bull or monster shown in fair. Take any shape but that, and I'll confront thee.
Alas, unhappy man. I am thy friend.
Sir Jolly? Neighbour? Oh, is it you? Are you sure it's you? Are you yourself? Oh, give me a hand. How does Bogard?
He's dead.
Dead? What? Quite dead?
Well, as good as dead, if not quite dead. It was a horrid murder. And then, the terror of conscience, neighbour.
Truly, I have a very terrified one, friend. Though I never found out I had any conscience at all till now. Whereabouts was his death wound?
Just here. Just under his left nipple. Oh. A dreadful gash.
So very wide.
Oh, as wide as my hat. You might have seen his lungs, liver and heart as perfectly as if he'd been in his belly.
Is there no way to have him privately buried and conceal this murder? Must I needs be hanged with a neck like a dog, neighbour? Do I look as if I'd be hanged?
Truly, Sir Davy, I must deal faithfully with you. Yes. Yes, you do look a little like you will be hanged at prison. No.
Have you seen the devil, say you?
Aye, sure it was the devil. Nothing else could have frightened me so.
Oh, bless us and guard us. What's that?
Ah! Oh, protestatus septenum cuius benevolentia. Cervantes gentis e cuius misericordium. Where is it?
There, in the shape of a coach and six horses against them all.
Deliver us all. He won't carry me away in that coach and six, will he?
Oh, I'm going.
Sir Jolly, Sir Jolly. He's left me. Vermin!
Sir.
Am I alive? Dost thou know me again? Am I thy master, Sir David Dunce?
I hope I shall never forget you, sir.
Didst thou see nothing?
Yes, sir. Methought the house was all on fire. No.
Didst thou not see how the devils grinned and gnashed their teeth at me, vermin?
Well, Astor, I was afraid one of them would have bit off my nose as he vanished out of the door.
Lead me away. I'll go to my wife. I'll die by my own dear wife. I'll give all I have to my wife. Hey, vermin?
Truly, sir. She's a very good lady.
Much too good for me, vermin. I canst not imagine what she has done for me, man. Vermin, if I do die, thou shalt have all my old shoes.
I hope to see you live many a fair day yet, though.
Ah, my wife, my poor wife. Lead me to my poor wife.
Sir Jolly.
Sir Davy.
I will have my wife. Carry me to my wife. Let me go to my wife. I'll live and die with my wife. Let the devil do his worst. Ah, my wife.
Oh, not just
my wife.
Oh, that's Sir Davy. Oh, quick off the bed and lay on the table. As if dead. I'll cover you with a sheet.
Did you not see the ghost there?
Ghost? Pity no ears, no ghost. Whither would you go? I tell you, you shall not stir one foot further, man. The devil take me if you do. Ghost? Prithee, he is no ghost at all. I mean, a little flesh and blood, indeed. There is some old, some young, some alive, some dead, and so forth. But ghost? Pish, here's no ghost.
But, sir, if I say I did see a ghost, I did see a ghost. Why, sure, I know a ghost when I see one. I'm going to my wife.
Alas, Sir Davy, if you ever loved me, come not, oh, come not near me.
Eh?
I have resolved to waste the short remainder of my life in penitence and taste of joys no more.
Oh, alas, my poor child. But do you think there was no ghost indeed?
Ghost? Alas, a day, what should a ghost do here?
And is that man dead?
Dead? Aye, aye. Stark dead. He's stiff by this time.
Here you may see the horrid, ghastly spectacle, the sad effects of my too rigid virtue and your too fierce resentment.
Aye, do you see there?
Aye, I do see. Would I'd never seen him. Would he have lain with my wife in every house between Charing Cross and Aldgate? So this had never happened.
In troth, and would he had. Ah, but we are all mortal, neighbour. Mortal.
True, true.
Today we are here, tomorrow gone, like the shadow that vanishes. Like the grass that withereth, or like the flower that fadeth. Or indeed like anything, or rather like nothing. But we are all mortal.
I'll run away.
Run away? Why, then your estates will be forfeited. You'll lose your estate, man.
Truly, truly, you say right, friend. And a man had better be half hanged than lose his estate, you know.
Hang? No, no, I don't think there's no great fear of hanging either. What, this Bogard fellow was but a sort of an unaccountable fellow, as I heard you say?
Aye, aye, a pox on him. He was a soldierly sort of a vagabond. Uh-huh. He'd little or nothing but his sins to live on. Ah! Oh, Lord! The devil! The devil! The devil!
What is it, Sir Davy?
Look, the dead man rises up!
Where?
There!
I cannot see it.
Sir Davy, Sir Davy, what is the matter with you?
I will not look up to see an angel!
Oh. My dear, why do you do these cruel things to frighten me?
I saw the ghost just now.
What ghost? Where?
There.
That's the dead man! A lying corpse.
He rose like Lazarus. Why, did you see nothing then?
See nothing, no, nothing but one another.
Then I'm enchanted, or my end is near at hand. Neighbour, for heaven's sake, neighbour, will you advise me? What shall I do to be at rest?
Do? Wait. What think you if the body were removed?
Removed?
Mm-hmm.
I'd give £100 the body were out of my house.
Well, I have discovered a door in the wall betwixt my lady's chamber and the one that belongs to me. Yes. Now, if you think fit, we'll beat it down and remove this troublesome lump of earth into my house.
Truly, if the body was removed and disposed of privately, that no more might be heard of the
matter. Fear nothing, I warrant you. Oh, but in truth, yes, yes.
Hey?
I had utterly forgot one thing. Utterly forgot it.
What's that?
Well, it will be absolutely necessary that your lady stay with me at my house for one day, till things were better settled.
Ah, Sir Jolly, whatever you think fit. Pray take her. You shall be very welcome.
Sir?
Now, here you, my dearest. There is but one way for us to get rid of this untoward business, and Sir Jolly has found it. Go along with him, be ruled by him, and whatever Sir Jolly would have thee do, do it. So, heaven prosper you. God be with you, God be with you. Till I see you again.
Yes.
This is certainly the civilest cuckold in city, town, or country.
Is he gone?
Yes, and has left poor me behind.
In truth, madam, 'tis barbarously done to commit a horrid murder on the body of a poor innocent fellow and then leave you to stem the danger.
Hard and I were as thee, sweetheart, I'd be revenged on him for it, so I would.
Go, get you together. Steal out of the house as softly as you can and into mine.
And don't let Sir Davies see you. We'll have a banquet with minstrels and all.
Neighbour, is the business done?
Yes.
I cannot be satisfied until I'm sure. Have you removed the body? Yes. Is it gone?
Yes, my servants conveyed it out of the house just now. Well, good. Sir Davy,
I'd have you say your prayers, if you can.
If I can, possibly, I will.
Well, God be with you.
God be with you, heartily. Good neighbour. Women. Warren!
Did your honour call?
Go. Run over the square and call the constable. Tell him he has murder committed and that I must speak with him instantly.
Murder?
Go. I'll even take the constable to my neighbour's that he may find the dead body there. And so let my neighbour be fairly hanged in my stead. A very good jest, as I hope to live.
Sir Jolly, this might be an entertainment for Antony and Cleopatra, were they, Lizzie?
Peace a pox of Antony and Cleopatra, the dead and rotten long ago. Come, time's but short, and must be made the best use of.
Youth's a flower that soon does fade, and life is but a span. Man was for a woman made, and a woman made for man, and woman made for man.
Man! Why, now we can be bold and make merry and frisk, rejoice and make a noise. Give me some wine. Madam, here's a health. Here's a health, madam. Here's a health to honest Sir Davy.
Faith and truth.
Come, dance,
eh? Madam,
yes, sir.
Yonder's the constable and his watch at the door and threatens demolishment if not admitted.
Oh, so bloody bones, the constable and his watch. Lady Duns, Captain Bogart, get you both in the alcove. Okay, get you.
Come, quick.
No noise. Oh, a pox on the constable and his watch. What the devil are the constable and his watch to do?
Yeah. Your servants.
What? This outrage, this disturbance committed upon my house and family, constable.
Sir, having received information that the body of a murdered man is concealed in your house...
What?
I am come, according to my duty, to make search and discover the truth.
A murdered man, sir.
Yes, a murdered man, sir.
Sir
Jolly, I'm sorry to see a person of your character and figure of the parish concerned in a murder, I say.
Here's a dog, here's a rogue, here's a villain, here's a cuckold, his son of his mother. There are no honest fellows living but who are masters.
Hark you, sir, what a pox do you mean?
When your worship comes to be hanged, you'll find the meaning, answer. I say once more, search the house.
It's already done, sir. Search the house.
Search the house.
Search my house. Oh, Lord, search my house. What will become of me? I shall lose my reputation with man and woman, and nobody will ever trust me again. Oh, Lord, search my house. All will be discovered. Do what I can. I'll sing a song like a dying swan and try to give him warning. Go from the window, my love, my love, my love. Go from the window, my dear. The wind and the rain have brought them back again. And thou canst have no lodging.
Break down the door of that alcove. I'll have that door broke open. Break down the door, I say.
Break down my doors. Break down my walls. Gentlemen, plunder my house, ravish my maids. Oh, curse me, cuckolds,
constables and cuckolds.
Lady Dunce.
And Captain Boga.
Stand off! By heaven, the first that comes here comes upon his death!
Sir, your humble servant. I'm glad to see you are alive again with all my heart. Gentlemen, there's no harm done. Gentlemen, here's nobody murdered, gentlemen. The man's alive again, gentlemen. But here's my wife, gentlemen. And a fine gentleman with her, gentlemen. And, Mr. Constable, I hope you'll bear me witness. Mr. Constable.
That he's a cuckold, Mr. Constable.
Hark ye, you curs. Keep up from snapping at my heels. I hate constables worse than my father.
Get ye gone, ye dogs, ye rogues, ye knights toads of the parish dungeon. Disturb my house at these unseasonable hours. Get ye out of my doors. Get ye gone, or I'll brain ye, dogs, rogues, and villains.
And next for you, Sir Coxcomb. You see, I am not murdered, though you paid well for the performance. What think you of bribing my own man, Master Forbin, to murder me, eh?
Oh, Sir Davy, Sir Davy, the most unhappy and most unfortunate news. There has been a gentleman in your niece, Madam Sylvia's chamber, all this night. Oh, just as you went out of doors, carried her away, and whither they are gone, nobody knows.
I'm glad, Aunt. I would not care if he'd carried away my house and all, man. Unhappy news. Poor fool. He does not know that I am a cuckold. And that anybody may make bold with what belongs to me. Oh, I'm so pleased. I think I was never so pleased in all my life before.
I have a hold over you now, sir. There are laws for cutthroats, sir. And if you care for your future credit, take this wronged lady home and use her handsomely. Use her like my mistress, sir. You mark me? That when we think fit to meet again, I have no complaint of you.
In truth, and it is but reasonable, very reasonable, Edgerald.
Can you, my dear, forgive me one misfortune?
Madam, in one word, I am thy ladyship's most humble servant and cuckold. Sir David Dunce, knight, living in Covent Garden. Well, this is mighty pretty.
Sir Jolly, protect me or I am ruined.
My little minikin Sylvie.
My dear Courtine, welcome.
Well, child, and what would that wicked fella do to thee, child? Ah, child, ah, what would he do to thee, eh?
Oh, sir, he has most inhumanly seduced me out of my uncle Sir Davy's house, and he threatens to marry me.
Marry?
And she's taken me at my word.
In truth, and that's very uncivilly done. I don't like these marriages. I'll have no marriages in my house, and there's an end on it.
And do you intend to marry my niece, friend?
Yes, sir, and never ask your consent neither.
In truth, that's very well said. I'm glad on't, with all my heart, man, because she has £5,000 for her dowry, and my estate is bound to pay for it. Well, this is the happiest day. Here, take thy bride. Like man and wife agree. And may she prove as kind as mine to me.
Courtine, I wish thee joy. Thou art come opportunely to be a witness of a perfect reconcilement between me and this worthy knight, Sir Davy Dunce.
No more to be said. But don't be too hard on me. Use me gently, as thou didst my wife. Gently. A very good jest, if faith.
In The Soldier's Fortune by Thomas Otway, adapted for radio by Peter Barnes, Bogard was played by Dennis Quilly, Courtine, John Rowe, Sylvia, Sarah Burdell, Sir Jolly Jumble, Peter Woodthorpe, Lady Dunce, Dillis Lay, Sir Davy Dunce, Arthur Lowe. Bloody Bones, Bernard Breslaw, Constable, Christopher Scott, Vermin, Sean Probert, Forbin, Henry Knowles, Landlord and Watchman, John Bott, and The Three Whores by Sonia Fraser, Eve Karpf, and Jenny Lee. The music for the production was specially composed by Christopher Whelan. The Soldier's Fortune was directed by Martin Jenkins.